Well, today I conclude my sermon series on the Gospel of Luke, a sermon series that I started back in December of 2011. Yes, you heard me right. It has taken me 2 years and 5 months to preach to you from the Gospel of Luke. But it's been worth it because we've had the chance to dig deep into the teaching of Jesus as recorded by Luke the Evangelist, who, by the way, was a student of the Apostle Paul. Well, today's Gospel reading from the very end of Luke's Gospel is short, but it's very important. You see, this text tells us about an event known as Jesus' ascension. And Luke writes about this event in these words: "When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." Now, I'll say more about the meaning of Jesus' ascension for us in a bit. However, at this point, I want to explain what at first appears to be an example of Scripture contradicting itself. So, what is this apparent contradiction? Well, simply put, if you read the beginning of Luke chapter 24, it is clear that Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem on the same day that he rose from the dead. Therefore, when people read the words I just read for you from the end of Luke's gospel, it seems as though Luke is saying that Jesus spoke those words and then ascended to heaven on the same day that he rose from the dead and on the same day that he appeared to his disciples. If that's true, then we do have a problem between Luke and the other Gospels. You see, even though the Gospel of Matthew does not mention Jesus' ascension into heaven, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, which you heard in our first reading, we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, a few miles north of Jerusalem. Also, even though the Gospel of John does not mention Jesus' ascension either, in John chapter 20, we're told that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem twice. Not once, like Luke says, but twice. And there was a week between each of those appearances. And then, later, in John chapter 21, we're told that Jesus appeared to his disciples again up in Galilee. Now, there are some who assume that this information contradicts what Luke says at the end of Luke chapter 24, because some wrongly conclude that Luke is there teaching that on the same day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples only once in Jerusalem, and then on the same day, he ascended to heaven. But my friends, there is no contradiction. You see, this is a good example of where we must let Scripture interpret Scripture. The same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, which you heard earlier, Luke himself says that Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days. Now, please note, Luke didn't give us that information at the end of Luke chapter 24. But here, in Acts chapter 1, we see that there was a period of 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And so, my friends, there is no contradiction whatsoever between what the Gospels say about Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples. In fact, not only does Acts say that Jesus appeared to them numerous times over a period of 40 days, but listen to what Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "Christ appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, Paul says. So there you have it. Just as Luke says in Acts chapter 1, Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. It's just that Luke doesn't mention this detail at the end of Luke chapter 24. However, because Jesus remained on earth for 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension, there was plenty of time for Jesus to appear to his apostles several times in Jerusalem, as John's gospel teaches, and there was plenty of time for Jesus to meet with his disciples again up in Galilee, as both John's gospel and Matthew's gospel teach. So, not only is there no contradiction between the Gospels, but the information that we receive from Matthew, Luke, and John, along with the information we receive in Acts chapter 1, this all gives us a bigger picture of what actually happened after Jesus' resurrection than if we were to read only one Gospel by itself alone. So the Gospels are complementary, not contradictory. With that understood, what is the point of Jesus' ascension? And what does it mean for us today? Well, first of all, I want to help you understand what the disciples were going through as they witnessed Jesus ascend to heaven. In fact, you may have the same thoughts and emotions as you consider the fact of Jesus' ascension yourself. I mean, let's face it. At first, the fact of Jesus' ascension seems to be a depressing event. Why is that? Well, the ascension seems to be saying someone we love has left us. Some of you may be familiar with the Irish folk song, Danny Boy. That song is about the heartache of an Irish mother as she watches her son get on a ship to sail away to a new life in America. Her heart breaks as she watches him get on that ship because she knows she will likely never see him again. In fact, we experience an even worse heartache at funerals, don't we? People we love have died. We want to be able to see them and touch them and hear them and speak to them, but we can't. Not anymore. So imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus ascend to heaven. They loved him so much. Their hearts broke as they watched him die on the cross. And then 3 days later, their hearts exploded with joy when they saw him alive again. But when they saw their resurrected Jesus ascend, their hearts broke again. They were wondering why he was leaving them alone. Do you feel that way sometimes? Do you feel alone? People you love have moved away. You don't see them as often as you'd like, and there's an empty place in your heart. Oh, sure, you can speak with them on the phone, or if you're a techie person, you can Skype with them on the internet, but it's not the same. It's not the same as being with them in person. Worse yet, as I've already mentioned, maybe someone you love dearly has died. So not only are you unable to see or touch that person, you can't even hear that person's voice. But you know what? Sometimes we wonder if God has left us. We can't see him. We can't touch him. Oh, we can pray to him, but we can't hear him speak back to us. And when we go through times of pain or hardship or loss, we begin to wonder if God really has left us all alone. On top of all that, there's that line in the Creed that we spoke not that long ago. He ascended into heaven. The ascension seems to be the final nail in the coffin. The ascension seems to say to us, Jesus has left us. My friends, I know how you feel because I experience the same pain as you do. But I'm here today to give you good news. You see, far from being a depressing event, the fact of Jesus' ascension is meant to give us great comfort and certain hope. With that said, listen to these words of Jesus that appear immediately before today's gospel reading. Luke writes, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Did you hear that? Before his ascension, Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until he sends them what his Father has promised. And then, at the end of today's gospel reading, after Jesus ascends, Luke writes these words, Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. That's right, for a while they were depressed when they saw Jesus ascend. But when they remembered his words, joy returned. When Jesus tells them that he will send them what the Father has promised, he is speaking of a special giving of the Holy Spirit that they will receive on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, occurred 10 days after Jesus' ascension. When that happened, the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to be powerful witnesses for Jesus. And what was the result? The result was that several thousand people were converted to faith in Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And my friends, God also sends us the Holy Spirit. He comes to us in the waters of holy baptism. He comes to us through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And the Holy Spirit assures us that Jesus has not left us. In fact, the Holy Spirit assures us that Jesus is as close to us as he could possibly be. You see, one important thing the Holy Spirit does is he reminds us of Jesus' words. And as we consider the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit wants us to remember these words of Jesus from Luke chapter 22. Listen, Jesus says, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Did you hear that? Jesus has not left us. He is with us. Not only does he come to us in holy baptism, not only does he speak to us with his words in holy scripture, but even more with his own words, he assures us that he gives us his body and blood in the holy supper that he has given to us. On top of that, listen closely to what the Apostle Paul writes about the ascension of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, Paul says that after the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And Paul says, again, God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, Paul makes two important points here regarding Jesus' ascension. First, Jesus' ascension means that he reigns over all creation. You know what that means? Jesus hasn't left you. In fact, his ascension means that he reigns over the whole universe for you. He is in control of everything. You know what that means? When bad things happen, when evil people do horrible things, when natural catastrophes occur, it's not because God is oblivious. It's not because he's not strong enough to keep it from happening. No, when these things happen, it happens as part of God's plan, as part of his will. Now, we might not understand why God allows evil and suffering, but what a comfort to know that he reigns. He reigns. And when he does allow these things to happen, he has not abandoned us, but he actually promises to work through them to strengthen the faith of believers and to give us an opportunity to witness to others about the hope we have in Jesus. That's right, my friends. When the devil points us to the catastrophes of this world, the devil wants us to think that either God has abandoned us or that God is really not God and he cannot get these things in control. But both of those are lies. The ascension of Jesus means that he reigns. He's in control. And nothing happens apart from his will. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus actually causes people to do sinful things. But he allows them to do it. And when he allows them to do it, we have the promise that he will work it all out for our good in the end. So Jesus reigns. He's in control. And that means you're secure in his loving plan. That takes us to the second point that Paul makes in that quote from Ephesians that I shared with you moments ago. The second point is this. Jesus' ascension means that he fills everything in every way, as Paul said. In other words, now that Jesus is ascended, he exists everywhere. We might not be able to see him. We might not be able to touch him as the apostles did. But he is still with us nevertheless. In fact, Paul also addresses this fact later in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to what he says there. Christ is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. Why? In order to fill the whole universe. Did you hear that? Jesus' ascension means that his body is no longer confined to one space. Jesus' ascension means that his body now fills the whole universe. As Jesus said at the end of our reading from Matthew, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now again, we might not be able to see Jesus, we might not be able to touch him, we might not be able to hear him as the disciples did, but he is with us nevertheless, just as he promised. In fact, that's why Peter wrote the following words to some new believers who had never seen Jesus in person, and yet they believed his word. Listen to what Peter says to them, because what he says to them applies to you. He says, though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My friends, the ascended Jesus came to you and adopted you as his own in the waters of holy baptism. The ascended Jesus also speaks to you. He speaks to you today as you hear and read the words of Holy Scripture. That's right. During this past 2.5 years, Jesus has been speaking to you with his words during this sermon series on the Gospel of Luke. In addition, the ascended Jesus also gives you his body and blood today. He gives you his body and blood whenever you receive the Lord's Supper. And so Jesus has not left us alone. He reigns over all creation for us. He is with us always, just as he promised. Having said all that, I'd like you to go back with me all the way to the beginning. The beginning of Luke's gospel, where he writes these words. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself, Luke says, have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke says that he wrote his gospel for someone named Theophilus. You heard his name mentioned in our reading from Acts as well, because remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts too. So what does it mean that he wrote the gospel of Luke for Theophilus? Well, some believe that Theophilus was an individual person, but others believe Theophilus was a nickname that Luke gave to every person who believes in Jesus. Now, why would Luke give you that nickname? Why would he call you Theophilus? Because the name Theophilus means one who loves God. And you do love God. You love God because he first loved you by sending his son to be your savior and by bringing you to faith in him. You have heard your Savior's words during this sermon series in the Gospel of Luke. And you know what? You can continue to hear your Savior's voice as you read the Gospel of Luke again and again, and as you read the other books of Holy Scripture, because all of Scripture is Jesus' words for you, O most excellent Theophilus, one who loves God because he first loved you. Amen.